New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again, dear ones. Dr. Robert with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit, March 22nd, 2024. We're so happy that you're with us. And I think the question we have for the day, we might not answer this, but the question we have for the day is, who changes your light bulbs? But we'll get into that a little later. Let's say good morning to Linda. Good morning, Linda. Good to see you, dear one. Grateful you're with us. Anyone else that's out there watching, feel free to chat along, chime along, share your comments, your thoughts in the chat box. Let us know you're with us. Let us know what you're thinking as we go along today. So, all right, Z, what's your top story of the week?
Hey, I don't hear you. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Me? Oh, what? Let's see. Might be me.
My mic does appear to be working.
You know, this technology stuff. See, said the blind man. Yeah, it is me. Have you now, hopefully.
Got me now?
Still don't have you. Where is my volume?
We sound like a Zoom call from 2020.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
now?
Well, I don't know if you hear me, but I don't hear you. And so while I work on this technical difficulty, I'll get back to you in a moment.
Okay. Absolutely. So, all right, where should we call? Well, let's start in Colorado, folks, because I could report on this story without Elzia. Late Wednesday night, a comprehensive bill banning the purchase, sale, and transfer of assault weapons in Colorado cleared its first hurdle. What that means is it made it out of committee. It's still a long road towards this. There's still going to be a lot of arguments and a lot of back and forth about this, but Colorado bill, House Bill 1292, it's passed out of committee. It is now going to the House and then to the Colorado State Senate. And again, it would ban the sale, purchase, sale, and transfer of assault weapons in Colorado. I think that could be a very good start. We'll see where it all happens. We'll keep you informed as we go here. As it happens. So, all right, LZ, you got me back yet?
I'm back in the saddle, as they say.
There we go. All right. So, we've already got a, you know, we're going to talk about assault weapon ban. And personally, I'm just going to jump right into this story as well, because recently a mother in Florida was charged with child endangerment and allowing a child to obtain a handgun after she forgot to take her Glock out of her two-year-old's lunchbox. So here's the story. Supposedly, the woman normally keeps her gun in her glove compartment of her car. However, because she also doesn't carry a purse, she had to put the gun in something to take it out of her car and take it to her into her apartment. Would be illegal to just walk from her car to the house with the gun open carry. So she has to put the gun in the lunchbox, takes it inside, forgets that it's there, packs her son's lunch the next day, and sends him off to daycare. This is a two-year-old. Luckily, the staff at the daycare opened the lunchbox before the kid did, and they found a loaded Glock in the kid's lunch. I mean, if there's ever a poster story for arms control, for gun control, this has got to be it, right?
Well, and I see it now. The school attendant grabs a lunchbox. It's heavy than all get out. She's like, what is this kid eating for lunch?
Yeah.
You know, Cheerios and an apple shouldn't weigh this much.
Very, very true. So it's been an interesting week in the news, folks. So Z, how about you? What would you say is your, what are your top stories this week that you saw?
Well, you know me, the top story is March Madness. It's just, you know, something light and fluffy, if you will, compared to all this other stuff we're looking at. But as anyone who's a basketball fan, or even if you're not, because it's all over the news, the college basketball tournament, March Madness, as it's effectively known, has begun, and it got off with a bang yesterday. As you know, four upsets first day. You had number three Kentucky get whooped by a 14 seed. You had Oregon slip in out of the Pac-12. You had Duquesne beat BYU, a number 11 seed, beat a number three seed, I think that was. But it's, you know, some of these underdogs, some of these kids come out, that people don't give them a chance. They have their mind made up, you know, they're focused, they're determined, and they play David and Goliath. And so it was a good first day. I think everybody's bracket is broke by now.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like everybody just threw away their brackets this year, huh?
Yeah. And sadly, our Colorado State CSU Rams lost. They played a great game to get in, and then they lost yesterday to Texas. We'll get CU playing tonight on both sides. The men and the women will be playing tonight. So that'll be interesting for all the Colorado basketball fans. And so it's a fun time. I love to watch college basketball 1,000 times more than professional, because these kids are playing for something, right? They know a bunch of them won't go to the pros. You know, there's a select few with all these teams. They got 64 teams. So that's, you know, they got about 1,000 kids playing. So, you know, it's meaningful to these kids to go out on top, to prove something. And so it's a great way of looking at how people can elevate themselves, even when they know they're not going to get $1 million contract or multi-million, I guess million might be the signing bonus these days. But, so that's fun. It'll last for the next couple of weeks. So if you're a basketball fan, dig in today. It'll be on all day.
Well, there we go. I think it'll be on for most of the month, right?
Yeah.
Wow. It's tough to hear that the Rams didn't make it move forward. And we wish all the athletes, whether winning a game or losing a game, whether you're going home or going on, we wish all of those athletes a great experience at this year's March Madness. We'll keep you in touch. We'll make sure we do talk about this every Friday morning this month. Keep you an update on what's going on with March Madness. So, here's the late breaking story, that you turned me on to this morning. Folks, if you live in Alabama, today's the day to call your governor. If you live in Alabama, today is the day to call your lawmakers. And I think if you live in Alabama, today's the day to pitch a fit in a big way. Z, tell us what's going on in Alabama.
Yeah, well, the governor of Alabama, and her name escapes me right now, but she just made Kay Ivey, yes. And she's just rescinded, if you will, all diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging efforts at the state level or anything that the government is involved in Alabama. So all the DEIB and DEI programs that are in schools, that are in nonprofits that may be getting money from the state, they'll stop getting it. And any university or other program that's supported by state funds will go away. Now, Alabama, I'm pretty sure there's a whole lot of inequities going on in Alabama. So for her to, and there's a big gap between belonging, I'm sure. So I just don't get it. How, you know, people have turned the idea of being fair, of being inclusive, of being, making people feel welcome as some woke thing with these people have this labeled as woke. I'm like, well, I want you woke. I don't want you driving the car asleep because you're going to wreck it. So we're driving a big car called the United States or the state of Alabama or whatever it is. And I want everybody to be woke. I don't want you sleep at the wheel because I know what happens when that takes place.
This whole thing sounds like a word jumble to me. So the state defines, the bill will restrict the teaching of, quote, divisive concepts and limit diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at public schools, university, and state agencies. Alabama defines a divisive concept includes the teaching that, quote, any race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin is inherently superior or inferior. So white Christian nationalists, you got to move out of Alabama. Misogynists, you got to move out of Alabama. Anybody that thinks that any of those white supremacists, you got to move out of Alabama because this isn't allowed now in Alabama. But it also says that state employees, students cannot be punished for, quote, their refusal to support, believe, endorse, embrace, confess, or otherwise assent to a divisive concept or diversity statement. So I'm not allowed to say blacks are superior to whites, but I can't be punished if I do. I'm not allowed to say that whites, men are better than women, but we're not going to punish you if you do. Sounds like a setup to keep things the way they are.
Yeah.
And not and provide roadblocks to people, well, let's just say it, waking up to something more.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it has gotten comical, government, because, you know, we bring up the, I mean, anyone in their right observational mind, I would say, can look around this country, forget about the world, can look around the country and see that equity is not everywhere, right? You can see that everyone is not included. I mean, I was talking with someone the other day, of the Fortune 500, right? There are, I think, Fortune 500, there's only 41, either 41 or 43 women CEOs. Now, given this is Women's History Month and all of the push and you know, a continued push to include women in every aspect of life, in this day and age, we still only have 41 out of 500 CEOs that are female.
Was that 41 or 41%? Because 41% of 500 is a lot less. Okay, just 41 out of 500.
41 individuals. 41 individuals.
So 41 women. They didn't even tell us how many blacks, did they? Because they don't want us to know that there's no black people at the Fortune 500.
I'm sure there's some double counting because I'm sure probably one or two of those women are black. And so they're being double counted, right? Which they should. I mean, to be fair, they're a woman and they're black. But that's how they play games with the numbers by doing that kind of count.
Yeah. You know, I know it's a topic that I think is very prevalent right now. We have to, and in a conversation recently, you introduced me to that, to the idea of adding the B at the end of this. So it's not just DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. It's diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And a lot of places are leaving out the belonging. That just shows they're not on top of the topic. They're not, you know, current with the topic. However, all these things lead to that state of belonging. You know, in one of her statements here, Kay Ivey says, my administration has and will continue to value Alabama's rich diversity. However, I refuse to allow a few bad actors on college campuses or wherever else for that matter to go under the acronym of DEI, using taxpayers' funds to push their liberal political movement counter to what the majority of Alabamans believe. I don't believe the majority of Alabamans believe in separation and homogeny. And, you know, we got to figure out what the acronym is for old white guy. I don't believe this is the truth of what Alabamans believe, and I'm looking forward to seeing the people of the state of Alabama push back on this one and say no, this can't stand. We have to be creating a world where people feel they belong, and these types of laws, this also includes a provision that campuses, colleges must force students to use bathrooms associated with the gender that was assigned at birth. How are you going to police the bathrooms in a major college university? How are you going to police the bathrooms on a major state campus? And these, it just feels like another roadblock to progress.
Yeah. Well, you know, it ultimately, in my mind, it gets down to the idea of trying to legislate morality, and you can't. You know, the government, it appears, is trying to put laws in place to have people believe and set up a moral system within their own personal life, or being dictated to them of what should and should not be considered as wholesome, fair, whatever word we want to use to get people to think in one certain way. I mean, you just look at the whole abortion thing, right? And the whole IVF thing. I mean, all these things are legal means to try to tell people how to live their lives in certain areas, and it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you know, speaking of legislating morality, let's talk about Donald Trump for a minute. I knew I could get
That's
you on that
segue.
One.
That's a good
thing. For those that maybe don't know, former President Donald Trump is in a ton of problems, in just a mess with how much money he now owes based on civil penalties that have been coming through from cases that he's losing. Now, we know that many places, a lot of lawyers are attempting to push court cases off as far as possible to allow for this fall's election before these cases go to court. However, many cases, including the E. Jean Carroll case, have already gone to court, and Trump is facing $500 million, I think we figured out, close to $500 million in fines and penalties right now. And experts say he doesn't have it. He don't have the cash. So the idea is that they're going to take the struggling social media platform Truth Social and make it a public company. To me, it sounds like trying to sell golden sneakers or something.
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, because before this came up, which just came up a day or so ago, the whole thing with Truth Social. was that they were going to go after properties. They were going to go after Mar-a-Lago. They're going to go after Trump Tower. They're going to go after some physical assets that equals the $500 million. Well, you know, right now they're saying that Truth Social and Trump Media is worth about $3 billion. You know, and we already know that he inflates. There's a tendency, according to the investigators, that he inflates his assets. So, okay, even if it's not worth $3 billion, let's say he overinflated it by 50%, it's still worth, you know, 1.5, 1 billion, right? Give or take, right? But the challenge is, it's still not liquid. It's that's on paper based on a value. I mean, so yeah. that's going to be a hard sell, but all he needs to do is come up with enough money to get that bond. And once he does that, he'll be free to go into the appellate courts, make an appeal, because he can't make the appeal if he doesn't have the money to pay the bond, right? As long as he pays the bond, he's out of the system, and now he can appeal the whole deal. But if he doesn't, then judgment starts going down that path. And so it'll be interesting to see. I just saw something that Leonard Leon, I think the guy's name was, and the Koch Foundation or Koch just dumped large money into the Republican Party for his what it takes to set up a Republican government. So there might be somebody who, under the table, if you will, private loans, that's between two private people that does not have, you know, you can get legal documents, but it doesn't have to be public,
right?
That may try to bail him out, or give him a certain, you know, if they think he's credible to pay it back. But it's going to be a mess. But I think at any rate, none of these cases against former President Donald Trump will come into play before the election. So all, you know, so then the question will be, once and if, God knows, we hope it's, we'll see. But if he gets elected president, what will happen? Will all that stuff go on hold because now he is the leader of the country? And you know, we don't want to disrupt, or we can't disrupt his governing by having him in court every other week, exposing whatever. And it's going to be a mess if we can't straighten this out. It's already a mess. It's going to be a bigger mess.
It's going to be a bigger mess. And that seems to be...
Go ahead. No, I was going to switch topics on a bigger, on a just as big mess, but I'll wait.
All right. Well, I don't know that there's a bigger mess than Trump's legal team right now, but they keep arguing on this immunity idea that he should have immunity, even now that he's not in office. But what they're parlaying is that he should have that immunity to allow for this next election to happen. So that we could potentially have some, just seems to me the man doesn't believe in the American government. The man doesn't believe in the Constitution. The man doesn't actually believe in democracy. Not entirely sure how it is that he's still eligible to run for president. So anybody out there that understands that piece of the law, please let us know. I could use a lesson on that. And I feel like I feel a little burned that first he did win in 2016. That the first time around, nobody believed it could happen, and it did. And I don't want people in this country to fall into that again, the belief that it couldn't happen, that there's no way it could happen. I think we need to be incredibly diligent to make sure people get out and vote. Not going to tell you who to vote for, but we're going to tell you to vote. We're going to start telling you to vote right now so that by October you're tired of hearing us and you actually go out and vote, or in November, depending mm-hmm. on your state. So,
and on the heels of that, you know, just think about what would be happening right now, because today another bell will toll if they do not pass the government bill to shut down the government once again. This one is worth $1.2 trillion for defense and housing and social, just a host of agencies. And the deadline is today, right? And so they have until midnight tonight to come up with this thing. Are they going to shut the government down again, or threaten to shut it down again? And we got enough stopgaps going on in our government. We don't need a distraction with the leader that's being bombarded with legal challenges and court appearances. And so it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And why is it taking us these every time all of this effort to fund this government that people say they so love and they're so much in favor of, to pass bills to pay the people who do the things that are necessary? I mean, there's a whole statement the other day in terms of cyber security, right? And we're talking about defense, and we know defense gets into cybersecurity, right? That the administration made a statement that there have been multiple cyber attacks on water systems for state governments to shut down the water system. Now, just let your mind not run too wild, but run just a little bit. What would happen to this country if they did mass attacks on water systems, drinking water, sewage water? I mean, who knows what would happen? But we can't even fund the people who's supposed to protect us from that.
Feels to me like we've gotten to a point now where the budget, how we fund the government, at what levels each department gets. And, you know, I understand we need a Department of Defense. I'd like to see a Department of War, of Peace as well, be instituted. That idea has been floated for quite a long time. But it seems like we've gotten to a point where, well, if we just keep kicking this can down the road, one, it becomes somebody else's problem. But two, if I keep just pretending to work on this, then I don't have to work on anything else. We're just going to play around, and we're going to scream and yell at each other. We're going to argue. We're going to negotiate. We're going to come around. But we never actually seem to get anything done. And this is March, and we're still fighting over the budget that was supposed to be passed back in October, which means we're not even going to have time to implement what this bill calls for before it's time to do this all over again.
Exactly.
Have we set up a system of perpetual money managers that don't know how to manage money? Have we set up a system where anybody can get elected and anybody can have a say in things they know nothing about, but that's okay because we're not going to actually do anything about any of this anyway. We're just going to let it sit here until it comes too late. I'm really tired. It's been years now of this, that of every single time we can't come to an agreement. I think if you actually polled the people, I think the people would be able to come up with a better idea of where the money goes, how much goes where, who to take care of. Because I see a lot of let's help everybody and let's only help the rich. I see a lot of let's help anybody, everybody, but no, we got to help me first. We got to get the millionaires, and the billionaires got to get theirs first before the regular folk can get theirs.
And I'm sitting here laughing. I'm laughing because I think about all of the serious matters that are going on all over the globe. And we are spending countless time and money, I'm going to throw a fastball at you, worrying about whether Kate Middleton doctored a photo or not over for the
Royals. Exactly. Nobody cares about the Royals anymore.
Or the we really don't. For sure.
Most of the Royals don't care about the Royals anymore. The amount of time people spend worrying about these pieces, these things that have no real bearing on how we serve the people. We know the Royals have never really served the people. I like what our friend Linda is saying. We need to pay attention to which politicians are demonstrating and acting for the benefit of the people, not for the benefit of corporations, not for the benefit of a dying institution that, truthfully, I mean, what do the Royals do for England at this point? From my perspective, absolutely nothing, except drain the coffers, except take, you know, I don't know how the royal family is funded, but I got to believe a lot of it is on the back of public money. So, you're throwing. All right, I got one for you. I didn't know this was happening. The Murrieta Police Department in California has received a letter from the Lego company to stop. What happened is California passed a bill where it's illegal to show the face of someone that's still a suspect. So they can't show a photo with a suspect's face. So they've been inserting and overlaying Lego faces, little Lego characters. They paste these faces over the suspects. Lego has finally gotten tired of it and said, you guys got to stop doing this. This isn't right. This hurts our company. And so they got around publishing photos of suspects by covering their faces with Lego characters. And I don't blame Lego for not being happy about that one.
So wait a minute. This takes the cake. So you tell me, I can't show the suspect's face, but I put a Lego. What does that do in helping me find the suspect, right? Or determining justice or anything by putting a Lego face on the doggone? I mean, give me a. Oh my God!
There that you go, folks. Just. I like that.
Who came up with that idea, right?
And what good does this do us? Like as a people, it does us no good whatsoever to say, oh, there's a cop with a suspect. We need a picture of it.
Right? That's the Lego character for Star Wars right there. We gotta call Luke Skywalker or somebody because
exactly.
Oh my God.
I mean, thought you might like that one.
Oh no, that's outstanding because it points to something that we talk about occasionally, I'll put it that way, is the public responsibility of public servants, whether it's media or police officers or whoever is supposed to be in the public service business. Look, I don't need you to tell, you know, I love it and I hate it. It's one of love, hate. They're doing an interview and they ask the guy, can you tell me about the investigation? We already know the answer. No, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't tell you. Why did you waste time to ask that question? Because you know what the answer is going to be, right? And I don't know if you're trying to shame the person to say that, but that's legally, they can't because they don't want to give away stuff that they're chasing the suspect. You know, it's just like ask a real question, right?
But yeah.
The media in that regard has gotten so patented and asked these patented questions to try to say, I got you. You know, we live in this cancel culture and gotcha culture that we are more interested in promoting those things than facts and truth and things that are going to help protect the populace. by these gotcha questions, and it's like, what good does that serve?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, before we go today, I do want to highlight what I think is one of the good news stories of the week. And folks, do keep in mind, I do a program here on New Thought Media Network every Friday night at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, where I focus on more of the good news that has happened over the week. This story doesn't quite fit in with the motif of that program, so we want to cover it here because this is kind of a dark story with the silver lining. Back in January of 2023, six white Mississippi law enforcement officers tortured two black men. It was a horrendous story at the time. However, the good news is, as of yesterday, all six of these officers have been sentenced to long-term prison sentences. They've become known as the Goon Squad. And as of yesterday, all six have been sentenced to, again, at least multiple decades in jail. The hearing capped an emotional 3 days during which the vivid accounts of the horrifying brutality of the self-styled Goon Squad was shared into the courtroom. Melvin Jenkins, the father of one of the victims, called it a momentous day. These guys are finally paying their due, and we're finally, it seems, seeing some accountability for police officers. I don't want to go into all the details, but one of these guys kept a lookout. One of them tased these men after they had already been handcuffed and subdued. The charges originally were totally out of sorts and fabricated. The whole thing was an absolute mess, and it really paints a picture of six white cops beating up on a couple of black kids. However, this time around, the cops are going to jail, and we're getting a bit of racial justice here. Not enough, but a bit. And
yet we need to be canceling DEIB programs, right? Yeah, because everything's right. Okay, right? There is no issue with the people being accepted or included or belonging. And it's like these guys planted evidence. And I'm just like, when are we going to wake up to a holistic program that says, look, there are problems. Let's work collectively to do it. One way to do it is to make sure people are educated and active and own their own stuff by keeping diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging programs. And if you don't like the way it is, then okay, fine. Everything can be improved. Everything can be enhanced. So let's go in and figure out what do we need to focus on, because the issue is still well in force throughout various local, state, federal government programs and of course, individuals as well, because those individuals make up all those other institutions.
Yep. The officers also have pled guilty previously to state charges. These were actually federal charges they've been found guilty of. They've all pled guilty to state charges as well, and those sentencing hearings have yet to be scheduled. We'll hear more about this in the future. We'll make sure to bring it to you and let you know when we hear more about it as well. It points to me, you know, here's the thing I see. One thing, the liberals of America have a really tough time when we name things. We do a really bad job of naming things. We used a term called defund the police, which was just a stupid name, in my opinion. We need to refund. We need to refund the police in a way that places more emphasis on training of DEI than on DIE. We need to train more on how to interact with people and how to not allow this type of racist culture to fester and foster, because it seems pretty obvious. The one guy that didn't quite do anything is the guy that was the lookout. Now, the judge did say, your inactivity to stop this, your inability to stop this is what makes you complicit in why you're going to prison here. But there is obviously a culture of goon squad happening in Jackson, Mississippi. What's going to change that? But a really well-educated youth that's coming up saying, hey, wait, no, we can't do this. And guess what I learned in college? This is how we can transform it. Mm-hmm. But neighboring Alabama says, no, you can't talk about that stuff. And Mississippi is much in that same vein. They'll probably come along with their own anti-DEI legislation in the near future, I think, as well. I think you're going to see a lot of that, actually, across Republican and conservative governors and predominantly Republican and conservative states. I think you're going to see a lot more of the anti-DEIB legislation. And I think we all need to be able to stand up and fight against that.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. And thank you for the segue. Please stay tuned to New Thought Media Network. If you would like to help us spread the good word of the New Thought movement across the planet, head on over to our website, ntmedia.org, hit the donate button. We do have a full day of broadcasting coming today, starting in just a few minutes with Sekou Writes, our morning prayers, Rev Melissa, the good news, the joy show at 1 o'clock. I'm back with the good news at 5. Pastor Michael's here with the fireside chat at 6. Stay with us throughout your day, throughout your evening. Check out some of our shows on the archives over on YouTube as well. And again, if you'd like to be a part of supporting the network financially, just head over to the website, ntmedia.org, click on that donate button, and make a monthly donation. It'll be greatly appreciated. Z, anything left before we run out of here today?
No, they're going after Apple. You know, they said Apple they keep the doctor away, but I don't know. They the government is, I don't know. They may have changed that prescription. I don't know, but that's one to keep our eye on to see what happens where they're trying to break up Apple Corporation. So that'll be something to watch during the coming week.
Yeah. Department of Justice filed a lawsuit yesterday, antitrust lawsuit claiming Apple has engaged in monopolizing type activities, I guess we call it, and actively acting against smaller players to limit the market and maintain their own market share in what they do with Apple products. So again, yes, we'll keep you informed. We'll keep that one in our eyesight, and we'll keep that one in our view until more happens. We'll let you know when it does. So, all right, we're out of here for today, folks. Thanks for being with us. We look forward to seeing you again next week, next Friday, for more of Ministers Talking Shit. Until then, we wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.